Hello and welcome to season four, episode eight of the Emotional Autoimmunity podcast. I am your host, Kerry Jeffrey, and I live in Melbourne, Australia, living with my four autoimmune diseases, which are at the moment celiac disease, antiphospholipid syndrome, Hashimoto's, and type 1 diabetes. And I work exclusively online with my clients all around the world, mainly my clients in America. I'm not sure why most of my clients are in the USA, but that's just how it's turned out. And I'm really grateful for that with my online programs. And I help them to deal with the often complex emotional issues that chronic illness brings about. And I know exactly what all of these are like because they're all things that I have experienced myself and still experience as someone living with a constantly changing disability, a dynamic disability, and with managing my four chronic autoimmune diseases. So they have really changed my life in so many ways. And I'm currently in my 10th year. So I've been through the whole spectrum, hospitalizations, long periods of time when I was unable to work, all of the uncertainty, not knowing if I would ever make any sort of recovery, if I'd ever be able to support myself again or continue to support my children, feeling like I'd lost everything, basically. And what chronic illness does is it really makes you feel vulnerable, leaves you feeling incredibly vulnerable and not in a position of safety because it makes you realize, you know, all the old sayings we have about health, that your health is gold, your health is wealth. Without health, you have nothing. And without health and energy and ability, we are often feeling so vulnerable that we are dependent on other people to help us and support us and care for us. And also that it takes us out of the normal process of life. It takes us away from the things that we thought we would be having, the life that we thought we would be having, that our friends and our partners and other people that we know in society, those so-called normal things and achievements that so many of us take for granted until they're no longer available to us, go through. And so in this episode today, we're going to be talking about chronic illness, jealousy, and envy. These are very difficult emotions to experience. And because they're seen as negative emotions or bad emotions, so many of us feel like a bad person and feel incredibly guilty or ashamed for having these very normal feelings. And my belief as a coach and a therapist is that there's no such thing as good emotions or bad emotions. All emotions are signals. All emotions are telling us about where we are in the world right now and how we're experiencing our life. And all emotions are valid and deserve to be honored. And they are nothing to feel ashamed of. And you can get valuable information from these feelings. So, what I'm hoping to do today is to demonstrate one, normalizing these things that you're feeling, if you are feeling this way, because it's not something that people like admitting or talking about because of the shame factor. Because it can feel like it's turning you into a version of yourself that you no longer like or feel comfortable with. And that because we don't talk about it, and because there's so much shame about it, that we don't give ourselves, or society doesn't give us the opportunity to understand that what we're feeling is a very normal human reaction to the complex, difficult, challenging, and very, with a lot of grief situation that we're going through with chronic illness. So I'm going to start by reading out a few different examples that are basically an amalgamation of things that my chronic illness clients have talked about when it comes to their feelings about jealousy and envy. So I have changed quite a bit of it just to give you the gist. I am not going to be outing anybody here. I certainly do not share my clients' personal information, because what my clients tell to me is confidential, but it's just kind of an amalgamation to give you an idea of the types of normal feelings that people with chronic illness experience when it comes to these feelings of jealousy and envy. My clients' ages range from people in their early 20s to who are single, maybe just come out of college, to people in their 20s, 30s that have got children, people that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and I think my oldest client so far has been in her 80s. So what I hope that you can get from that age range of the kinds of people that I'm supporting and helping is that it is across the board, and age is no factor to change. It's absolutely no factor to change. It's never too late to try and do something to get yourself the help and support that you need to give you your best possible chance at life, to feel as well mentally and physically as you can, and to still feel that your life has some sort of meaning and purpose and joy and satisfaction, even if at the moment that seems almost impossible or so far, so very far away that you can't even imagine what that would even feel like or look like, because chronic illness does take you from through the whole spectrum of human emotion, from, the depths of despair to feeling like you're on your knees, kind of just begging or praying for someone or something to make it better, to hope, to change, and then back again with a flare. Like, there's just so many variations of things that chronic illness can put you through, especially with the hardest issue, which is that chronic illness is so unpredictable, and the only sure and certain thing that you can count on is change. And one of the hardest things, the most challenging things to strive for, is to build yourself up to some level of stability with your health and energy, where you can, on an average day, generally function or do the things that you can actually do reliably. So I'm going to start reading out the first one of these. My friend told me how he got his dream job, and I'm honestly trying so hard to be happy for him that I can't. I just feel so jealous. Chronic illnesses have made me unable to work or study or to even live alone, and I've had to move back in with my parents. I've had to give up so many dreams, and it hurts to see my friends getting to live the life that I can't have because of my illnesses. Before my illness, I was an athlete. I was out on the fields playing with my friends and looking forward to maybe taking that to the professional level, and that's been taken from me. I constantly feel like I'm being left behind, and they get to do all of the normal achievements like graduating and getting their dream jobs and having careers and having relationships, while I'm left here stuck in a cycle of testing, medication, and rest. It feels so unfair and horrible. And this is a very real thing that chronic illness takes away from you. It does feel like you've now been assigned to the sidelines and you're watching everyone else go about their lives, doing all of the things that you thought you were going to do. And that feels so painful. And there's so much grief and so much loss in that. And it does feel so unfair and horrible, because it is. And one of the most important things for people to remember is that this isn't your fault. And you didn't cause it. And you didn't create it. And it's not some kind of cosmic judgment on you as a person. It's one of those cosmic car accidents of life that unfortunately happens to people. But when you're going through it, it doesn't make it easier to deal with, because there are so many difficult emotional feelings and experiences that we have when we become chronically ill, that nothing in our lives so far could have prepared us for. So, for example, I was a working therapist before I became chronically ill, and my field of expertise then was helping the adult children of toxic and difficult parents to overcome the emotional scars and the issues that come with the manipulation and the abuse and the power and control issues that come with being raised in families where there are difficult or toxic parents, or where abuse has happened. And I had a lot of skills then. I had a lot of experience then. I'd lived a fair amount of life and been through quite a few things, because I didn't experience chronic illness until I was in my 50s. And chronic illness basically just left me so vulnerable and so sitting there like in the wreckage of my life, wanting someone to help me, looking for someone who could help me deal with everything that I was having to adapt to, like deal with this situation where it felt like overnight I'd gone from being a healthy, normal, functional person with dreams and goals and things that I wanted to do, to someone who was disabled, not able to look after herself, didn't even know if I was ever going to be able to work or support myself again, or support my children who were both home with me at the time. And it felt like in many ways my life was over. But the rest of the world moved on, and people were still doing things, and people were out still living their lives in the world. And it did feel so unfair and horrible. And what I was looking for at that time was someone who could help me as a therapist, as a coach, to help process and work through all of the complex, difficult, big emotions and griefs that I was dealing with. And that was when I realized that there was very few people. I was actually unable to find anyone really who was able to help me. And so that's why I say on my About Me page on my website at emotionalautoimmunity.com that in many ways I have become the coach and the therapist that I was looking for at the time that I became chronically ill. So it does feel really unfair, and it does feel horrible, and it is a normal part of the grief that comes with chronic illness, the complex process of grief, the model of grief that we deal with. And while there are many grief models out there for all different sorts of situations, but mostly based on the model of people coming to terms with terminal illness, I've actually created my own grief model with what I feel is the normal emotional progression or stages that people that develop chronic illness go through. And so this is freely available to everyone. If you would like to download your copy of Moving Through the Grief of Chronic Illness, you can head over to my website at emotionalautoimmunity.com, sign up to become part of my email community. And then once you confirm your willingness to join my list, you reply to that confirmation email. You'll then be sent a link so that you can download the ebook. And I've also recorded the ebook in one of these podcasts. So you can look back through, I think it's this season or last season of these podcasts where I actually read aloud, Moving Through the Grief of Chronic Illness. So you can also listen to it. And so many people have told me that it's been really useful and they felt very validated because that was exactly what they were experiencing. It's not a linear model. We don't move through grief in a linear fashion. We can go back and forth. We can skip some stages altogether, but it is going to help you get more understanding of the complexities of the difficult emotions that we can have with chronic illness. So here's the next example. I feel sick most of the time, and I have lots of dietary restrictions, doctor's appointments, and lots of medication. I've tried to go out with my friends to get some life, just to stay connected to them, but sometimes it leaves me feeling even worse. They always talk about their plans and their jobs and their options, and I feel like I don't have anything to talk about and I have nothing to contribute. I don't do anything interesting. I have nothing real to talk about. I've even had to delete social media because of the posts of all the healthy people out doing things and enjoying their life. It just made me cry. I feel so bad for even saying this, honestly. I hate feeling so jealous and envious and like it makes me a bad person or a bad friend, but I just can't help it. I feel cheated of the life I was supposed to have. And seeing them out there living it hurts so much. And again, if you are feeling or relating to any of this, I want you to know this does not make you a bad person. It makes you a human person. You are going through a very complex and difficult grieving process with so many big emotions. And this is normal. The reason why we don't understand that it's normal is that people don't often openly talk about it because there's so little understanding out there. There's so little empathy out there. And if you do talk about it more than a couple of times, unfortunately, people don't understand. And they want to shut you down. And then you'll hear things like, oh, you're letting the illness define you, or you need to think positive, or the only thing you want to talk about is the illness. And people start to switch off, and then you feel even worse about it. This is normal, and you're not going to get stuck in this. The people that tend to get stuck in this are the people that need help and support. They're not getting it, right? And one of the most powerful and healing things about therapy, any form of therapy, is that you get to have someone hold space for you where you can talk about the issues that you're facing and be listened to. And everybody deserves that. All of these normal situations deserve that. The unfortunate thing about chronic illness is that it's hard to find a coach or a therapist who understands. Because of my experiences and the reports that I get back from clients, even ones that have been in therapy for years or decades, when they're talking about their chronic illness, they constantly feel like their therapist doesn't get it, right? They can get it theoretically, but they don't understand it. And that to me has always been the most powerful thing about therapy, to have that moment of having your feelings validated and normalized. I know it's been so healing for me in the past, but the difficulty of that is if we're talking about normal human challenges like life and loss and relationship breakups and grief and betrayal and rejection and hurt and anxiety and insecurity, right? They are things that are common to the human experience, and therapy does a fabulous job at dealing with that. But what happens when you get chronic illness is you realize in many ways that you're on your own. It's really hard to find anyone who understands. And so, because so few people in our societies and in our communities and in our places of worship don't understand unless they're going through it themselves, then it's really hard to get those feelings validated and understood. And that's what we're all longing for, right? That Me Too moment where it's like, yes, do you get it? You understand. You're saying exactly what I'm feeling. So it normalizes the situation for you. And in that way, you can feel some relief. You can feel better about yourself, that you're not a bad person. You're not a weak person. You're not a horrible person. You're a human being dealing with a really difficult, challenging, painful, ongoing situation that's taken a lot of things away from you, and you're still doing the best that you can. And this is the reason that I do what I do. This is the reason why I talk so openly about my life and my experiences. This is the reason that I'm putting all of this out there in a podcast, that I want you to know you're not alone. I want you to know this isn't a you problem. It's not that you're any less than. I want you to know that every single person with chronic illness experiences these very real and valid emotions. It's something that you are not going to understand unless it's happened to you. And that's really why I do what I do. I want to normalize this. I want to help people. Like, if I can help anybody, any one of you out there listening to me right now, feel a little bit less alone and a little bit more understood and not left to feel the way I felt when I became chronically ill, then it's worth it to me. So now on to the next example. I feel awful saying this, but I feel so envious of my husband and how easy everything is for him. Even with all the extra stuff he's had to take on because of my illness, I still feel that way. He just gets up and has a shower. He can eat whatever he wants, and he gets to go to work. He can drive a car. He can do things. He has interesting things to talk about, and he's out there doing things in the world. I know how much he loves me, and I hate feeling this way, but I can't stop feeling so jealous of all the things my friends and my family and my husband can do that they take for granted. And I feel like I must be a really bad person. So, as you can see, I hope from these experiences how normal this is. This definitely does not make my clients a bad person. It means that we need to see what's underneath the feelings of jealousy and envy. We need to work through these feelings, validate these feelings, normalize these feelings so that you can get out the other side. So here's the last example that I'm going to give you, and this is one I can very much relate to. I have zero patience with people that complain about things like a cold or a flu, things that they know will go away, and it's only going to be a week or so of minor inconvenience. Sometimes I just want to scream at them to stop whinging or maybe think about what it must be like for me. I feel so jealous knowing that they will get better and I won't. And I don't like the person that I feel like I'm becoming. I was never a jealous or envious person before, but now I feel jealous of everyone. And this was something that I experienced very early on. So, in terms of my illnesses, Hashimoto's was the one that took me out of life. That was the one that left me with, cognitively and physically disabled, in so much pain, in so much suffering, and so much fear and loss, fear that I would never get better, fear that this was it and my life was over. And I can remember vividly one day I was sitting at the sink on my chair, feeling like death and trying to do the dishes. And my younger son, who was about 11 at the time, was beside me, helping me dry the dishes. And he had a cold. And in the typical kid-like way, all he did was loudly complain about, oh, I can't breathe. Oh, I feel sick. Oh, I hate this. Oh, this is awful. Oh, I just want to go back to school. Oh, I just want to go out and play. And I listened to it for about 10 minutes. And then I just screamed at him. And it shocked me to hear it come out of my mouth. But I said something like, would you just stop. At least you're going to get better. I'm not going to get better. Will you just stop? It shocked both of us because I was so upset and so angry. And I hated speaking to him like that. And I actually had to just leave what I was doing. And I went to my bedroom and lay on the bed and cried. And then he came in and, did a wonderful job at attempting to comfort me. But I felt like such a horrible person and a horrible mother in that moment. And the main feeling that I had was jealousy. I wish this was just a cold. I wish it was just a flu. I wish I had something like back in the old days that I knew I was going to get better, right? And yes, it would be suffering, and yes, I would complain and hate it and not enjoy it at all and not want to experience it. But I knew there would come a point where I would get back to normal. I wished for the days when I could go to the doctor and it would be something simple that they could give me an antibiotic for or say, yes, it's a virus, so do this and try that and wait for it to pass. Like I was just so resentful of people that had normal illnesses. And this is such a common thing. But until you get a chronic illness, when you're staring down the barrel of what's often at the moment, there is no cure for autoimmune diseases. There is certainly remission is possible. Certainly, some people do make a really wonderful recovery and get a lot of functionality back. And many of us don't, though. So while I am appreciably better in so many ways than I was in that first 12 months, I still live with four chronic autoimmune conditions. That's changed my life. My life is now management of these issues and these illnesses. Everything about my life has changed. It doesn't mean that it's not a good life, or that I still don't, I don't enjoy things, or that I feel I have meaning and purpose. But every single one of those things has been a hard-fought battle of constant experimentation and change. Like, my life revolves around managing my chronic illnesses, and that is my new normal. But it's a very, very big and ongoing adjustment. And that's what people don't get, and that's what people don't understand. And I don't expect them to, honestly. I don't expect anybody to understand what I'm going through unless they've got chronic illness themselves, and even then. But what I do expect people to understand are the boundaries and the lifestyle choices and changes that I've had to set in order to best manage my chronic illness. So if you're sitting there feeling that jealousy and that envy, what can you do? How can you help yourself? So the first thing is acknowledge the pain that you're feeling and stop shaming yourself. It's okay to express these feelings. You can write these feelings out. You can verbalize them when you're on your own. You can even, if you have a function on your device that allows you to record a voice message, then record yourself. Do a stream of consciousness, get it out, and then listen back to it. Our emotions are meant to move through us. That's what they're supposed to do. But when we see something as bad or wrong, or say we don't want to feel that, and normally it's something like jealousy, envy, anger, resentment, we don't want to feel that because we judge ourselves and shame ourselves for feeling that. And so what we want to do is repress it, push it down. And what people don't realize that the more you do this, all emotions are connected, right? You can't selectively say to your mind, I just don't want to feel that, that, and that, right? All emotions are connected. And when you are suppressing, and it takes a lot of energy to suppress emotions like anger, jealousy, envy, grief, resentment, it takes from you, it drains you, and you push it down and you push it down. But what happens is, because all emotions are chemically based, and we still keep creating all of those stress hormones, right? All of those stress chemicals that come from those very real and valid emotions, it still builds up and builds up. It drains our adrenal system. It takes our energy. And what ends up happening is that one thing, one seemingly inconsequential thing will happen, and you'll explode. And it will all come out, whether it's in a flood of tears or crying, whether you end up like me, yelling at your kids or screaming at your partner or losing your temper, something like that. It will come out eventually. And then, because what comes out is this pent up buildup of all the emotions we've been suppressing, it feels so big and so out of context with the thing that actually happened, is then we feel even worse about ourselves. We feel even more shame, even more guilt, feel even more like a bad person, which means we then try and tighten down, like try and suppress those so-called bad emotions even more. And that stops us from feeling anything. So you just end up holding such tight control that all of life feels bland. You're not there. You're not present. It's hard to feel available. And this is the natural, normal consequence of suppressing emotion. So it's really important to vent those emotions, to acknowledge those emotions, to honor those emotions. And this is where a lot of people get stuck, because we can become afraid of our grief. Especially if you're a woman listening to this, there are two main emotions that women at the best of times, but even more so with chronic illness, really struggle with and are afraid of, is anger. Anger is the number one, because we're not taught how to healthily express feelings of anger and resentment. Nobody really is, right? So anger is one of the first things we learn to suppress. And when you're starting to try and feel your emotions, to express your emotions, anger ends up being, you know, the big bad demon of all emotions, because the story that we tell ourselves and the strong feelings we have about it, the fear is that if you ever really express your anger, you will destroy. You'll be like Godzilla. You'll go rampaging through your life on a path of destruction, and you'll destroy everything, every relationship, everything, and it will never stop. Right? All emotions come to an end. Nothing lasts forever. But if there's patterns of thought, and there's patterns in relationships, and there's patterns of things that keep fueling the anger, then that's one of the things that we need to work on. So that's what I'm looking for in my clients, right? First, normalizing the expressions of anger, looking at the patterns, so the maladaptive coping mechanisms that we all end up forming to get through life, changing those patterns and giving you new frameworks so that you know how to safely and responsibly express your anger in a way that feels good for you. Then the second emotion that most women are afraid of, especially women living with chronic illness, is grief. We push back the grief, because the feeling is that if I really connect to my grief, it will take me out. It will take me down to my knees. I will lose all functionality. I will just cry and cry for the rest of my life. I will never get up again. It's a very big exaggerated fear. So while it might feel that way, I can promise you, your tears will eventually end. You will allow your body to process all of the chemicals of grief, and you will be able to think rationally again. And so this can particularly be an issue with people who identify as type A personalities, you know, go, 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 high achievers, high standards of themselves. They are very good at compartmentalizing and suppressing their emotions, because that's how they push themselves to keep going. And they're also very good at holding themselves to unrealistic expectations, so constantly criticizing, blaming, and shaming themselves. So that's the first step. Admit it. You're jealous. Admit it. You're envious. Admit it. However petty or ridiculous or nasty it might be, admit it to yourself. You don't need to actually tell anyone else about it, but admit it to yourself. Get it out. I promise you, it doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a normal human person. Then once you get it out, look at what's underneath that feeling. Like, what is it that that person has that you want? Identify what that is. Is it a relationship? Is it a job? Is it more energy? Is it an ability to do something? But look at what it's telling you, because all of our emotions are signals. It's telling us about how we're interacting with the world. It's telling us about what we want more of. That's what it's telling us. But we generally go by looking at what we don't want, because that's what we're trained to do, what we want less of. There is a message there. It's telling you that person has something that I want. So what is it? Identify that and then look realistically at how can I get the essence of that in my life? So is it I wish I had their confidence? Well, how can you create more confidence? I wish I had their peace of mind. How can you cultivate that? What do you need to change? I wish I was able to do what they are able to do. Okay, so is it possible for me to do some of that, maybe in a modified way? Is it possible for me to do that, maybe using disability aids? Like, look at what the jealousy is telling you, because there's something underneath. There's a story, there's an unmet need, there's a wanting. Look at what is underneath. And that is going to help you to identify. It's absolutely okay to feel jealous or envious sometimes. Like I said, it's a human thing to do. It doesn't define who you are. What I can promise you is after years of doing this, like once I develop my framework, once I develop my tools, and I'm a constant work in progress, as everybody is, that's what's really made the difference for me, is to constantly deal with all of the ongoing issues, the things that just spring up, the unexpected, the uncertain that comes with living with chronic illness. Is that I can sit with my emotions. I allow myself to experience my emotions. I allow myself to express my emotions. And I've taught myself different techniques that allow me to do that in a way that feels like responsible emotional practices for me. I don't dump on people. I don't take out my stuff on people unless I'm severely provoked, because I am still human. On the most part, I am comfortable with all of my emotions. And when I say comfortable, like experiencing things like anger and jealousy and resentment and envy are not actually pleasant. But what I don't do anymore, I don't sit in judgment of myself for having those human emotions. And I deal with it. I process it. I vent it out. I honor it. And then I work through that process. If there's a message in there, I want to get the message. But sometimes you're just going to feel frustrated. Sometimes, there's no real silver lining there. Sometimes you're just having a human moment with the chemicals that create that emotion, and you just need to do something to allow your body to process those chemicals so that you can move through them and come out the other side. I'm here for all of my emotions. I'm here for the full human experience. And I tell you what, chronic illness is guaranteed to give you the whole gamut of the human experience in all its terror and all its glory. It really is. So if you've been dealing with jealousy and envy, I really hope this has been useful to you. If this is something you'd like some help with, if this is something that you feel you keep repressing your emotions, if you're really afraid of the way you're feeling, if you're feeling that you're a bad person or a terrible person, you're feeling all of that guilt, or you're just wanting somebody to talk to help you, who gets it and who understands what chronic illness is like, and you're looking for that support because it's really difficult to go through this stuff alone, then I encourage you to use the link that should be available in the notes in this podcast. Book your free online discovery session with me. No matter where you are in the world, there is generally a time that you'll be able to make it. And the one thing I ask of you when you make the booking is please, please, please do show up because I am giving you my valuable time and energy. So if you can't make it for any reason, you do have the opportunity to cancel it. But one of the most frustrating things for me is using my time and energy, getting myself ready and sitting there waiting for someone to join the meeting and they don't show up. And that is very frustrating for me. So that's the one thing that I ask. I give one free discovery session to anybody who needs it. And if for any reason, and it does say this in the instructions when you book it, if for any reason you don't make it, then you can get another discovery session, but you will need to pay me a $15 Australian one-off fee for that. So I am not going to turn you away, but you only get one free allocation of my time. So I hope this has been useful for you. I really hope it's made you feel better about being a human being and experiencing these very normal emotions. And I'll be back with you with another podcast in a fortnight. Bye for now.